All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 14. Have you ever noticed that throughout the Scriptures, God commands His saints to love one another? He commands us to be long-suffering to one another, to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. He teaches us to restore a fallen brother in the spirit of meekness. But not one time does God ever tell one of His saints to accuse our brethren and divide from our brethren. He never tells us that. God commands believers to be gracious and to be merciful to one another, trusting one another to Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what He commands us to do. He commands us to be gracious to one another, merciful to one another, trusting one another to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, I want you to see here in this passage, let me just read this to you. Verse 1 says, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." God tells me here, first of all, I'm to receive my brethren. I'm to receive my brethren. He says there in verse 1, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." Now, this is a true brother. This is a true brother. This is somebody who God has given faith. This is somebody who believes the gospel in spirit and in truth. He's weak, but you notice there, he's in the faith. He's weak in the faith. There's only one faith. It's the faith God gives. It's called the faith of God's elect. That's in Titus 2:1. It's the faith of God's elect. It's the faith of the saints. It's the common faith. So this one's weak that he's talking about, but he's a believer. He's weak in the faith. We're not talking about here somebody who worships the will and works of man. This is one who believes God when He says that we all sinned in Adam and come into this world totally depraved. This is not somebody who believes that God foresaw some good in us and that's what caused Him to choose us. This is one who truly believes the Word of God, that God chose His people freely by His grace without any regard to us whatsoever. This is not a one who's going around speaking about Christ died for everybody and not speaking of Christ as accomplishing redemption. This is a brother who truly believes Christ died for His particular people and justified each one for whom He died. He believes that God preserves His people who He's regenerated. He regenerates His people and calls them to faith in Christ and makes them willing in the day of His power and then preserves us so that we persevere in faith until the end. This is a true believer we're talking about. We're not talking about a will worshiper here. We're talking about a true believer. Now, what's he weak in? What makes him weak? Well, God gives us the description here of those who are strong in faith and those who are weak in faith. This is God's Word now. This is not just your preacher standing here giving you this description. This is God's description. This is God's description of those that are weak in faith and those that are strong in faith. He says in verse 2, "For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs." So God says the one who's strong in the faith, he knows and he's persuaded by Christ that he has liberty. He knows and is persuaded by Christ that our Lord Jesus Christ redeemed his people from the law. He brought us out from under the law and gave us liberty. He knows we're not under law, we're under grace. That's what this strong believer believes. Look over at 1 Corinthians 8. I want you to see this. Paul said, "As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there's none other God but one." Paul had liberty so that he would eat meat that had been used in the worship service of idols. He would go down to the shambles and buy this meat after they'd got through using it, sacrificed to idols. He'd go down there and buy him a big ribeye and take it home and eat it, even though it had been offered to idols. Why? Because he said, we know an idol's nothing. There's only one God. Verse 5, "Though there be that are called gods," just because a man calls an idol a god doesn't mean it's a god. There be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Howbeit, there's not in every man that knowledge. Look back at Romans 14. The man that doesn't have this knowledge, God says, is weak in the faith. He's weak in the faith. He believes that he can only eat herbs, only eat vegetables. He was raised up all his life being taught not to eat meat, especially not meat offered to idols, and he was raised just eating vegetables. Well, now God's called him. The Lord Jesus Christ has given him faith and brought him out from under that and taught him the truth as it is in Christ. But he still has these grave clothes. He still has these grave clothes. It takes a while to shed these grave clothes, don't it? You that have been in the faith for a while, you know you still got them. After 20 or 30 years, you still got them. God says he's in error. God says he's weak in the faith. He's in error. He's in error. He doesn't understand liberty that you have in Christ. But God says he that's strong in the faith, he enjoys that liberty. He knows you have liberty. Well, how does God say we should treat one another when this is the case? How should we treat one another? We're to receive each other. Look here in verse 3. "Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him." God says to the strong in faith, don't accuse your brother or criticize him because he believes he can only eat certain things. Don't accuse him. Don't criticize him. Don't put pressure on him and try to force him to walk the way you walk. And don't esteem him lightly and consider him a legalist and an unbeliever. Why not? Receive him because God has received him. God has received him. Do you really believe that we're not saved by anything we do? Well, then how can the things we do stop us from being a child of God? They can't. You know, we talk about that verse where Paul said, neither the circumcision avails anything. And we jump on that and preach how that, oh, we're not saved by the works of the law. But we forget the second part of that. Neither does uncircumcision avail anything. Just because you're not under the law and you don't do those works, that doesn't avail you anything. A man can be a legalist in not doing the works of the law as much as a man who does them. God has received him. God, that word means God's taken him to himself as one of his own. As his own. God says to the weak in faith, do not judge him that eateth. You see, notice there, he says to the strong in faith, don't despise him that eateth not. Don't esteem him an unbeliever and esteem him lightly and despise him. But then he says to that one weak in the faith, don't judge your brother who has liberty. Because that's what a weak brother is apt to do. He's apt to try to pass sentence on that brother that enjoys his liberty and say, oh, he's licentious. He's living in sin. He can't be God's child. He doesn't even have regard for God. He doesn't even try to obey God's law. God says, receive him, for God hath received him. Brethren, none of us who believe God, none of us know anything as we ought. None of us do. Before God and compared with Christ, all of us have weak faith. Remember what our Lord Jesus said to his apostles? There's some there who were strong in faith, some who were weak in faith. He said, O ye of little faith. He said that to all of them. Compared to Christ, we all have weak faith. We don't see ourselves as strong in the faith anyway. If God has taught you something about yourself, a believer doesn't see ourselves as strong in the faith. Lest we're overcome with self-righteousness and pride, we don't see ourselves strong in the faith. We see an unbelief that's in us and we cry out, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. We look to Christ because we depend on Christ entirely, and we look to Christ praying, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. We don't think we're strong in faith. And yet, here we are, weak in faith, and God has received us as His own. He's received us as His own. That means God is my brother's Father, the same as He's my Father. God's taken Him to be His Son, the same as He has me. It means God received your brother, and therefore you receive Him. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. God received Him. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even seated at God's right hand, who lives right now making intercession for that brother that you judge. Receive him. Christ has received him. God has received him. Now, let me ask you this. What's the quickest way to upset us fathers and mothers? What's the quickest way? When somebody judges and condemns our sons or our daughters. You can get a mother or father upset real quick by that. You come in and you start condemning one of our sons or our daughters. Well, God says this in verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. My brother, my sister, They're not my servant. They're Christ's servant. They're not my servant. They're Christ's servant. So if I criticize him, I'm criticizing his master. If I criticize him, I'm criticizing Christ. Criticizing his master. Do I not believe God's able to make him stand? We preach the sovereignty of God. We preach the power of God to save through the preaching of his word. And then we're going to turn around and take it upon ourselves to try to make one of his children obedient. How was he made Christ's servant? How was he made Christ's servant? Same as you were. Same as you were. God the Father chose him in Christ before the foundation of the world by his free and sovereign grace. Christ Jesus laid down his life for that one. Made him the righteousness of God in him. The Spirit of God gave him life, regenerated him, gave him faith, gave him all things that pertain to godliness. And the Holy Spirit of God dwells in that brother and in that sister. Well, how does a spiritually dead sinner, how does he come to have life? How does he have spiritual life? Look over to Ephesians chapter 1. How does he have spiritual life? Ephesians 1:22. It says, God's put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The church is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, and you hath he quickened. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. He gave me life. My master gave me life. How do I have faith? How do you have faith? Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We're his workmanship. He gave us faith. Well, does Christ give each believer the same degree of faith? Look at Ephesians 4. Look at verse 7. Unto every one of us is given grace. You know, faith is a grace given. Faith is a grace given. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Christ, my master, gave my brother the measure of faith that he has. You think he's weak in faith? Well, just know this. Christ gave him that weak faith. Could Christ not have given him strong faith? Yep. But he gave him weak faith. He gave him weak faith. So if I doubt him and I dispute with him, I'm being critical of Christ his master. I'm being critical of his master. Only Christ can increase his faith. I can't do it. You can't do it. Only Christ can do it. So, in all of this, you know what I've forgotten? If I'm sitting here esteeming my brother as an unbeliever because he's weak in the faith, if I'm setting him at naught and I'm wanting to have nothing to do with him because I think he's an unbeliever, you know what I've done? I've forgotten. Who maketh thee to differ from another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? What do you have that Christ didn't give you? Now, if you received it, why do you glory as if you hadn't received it? Isn't it what we're doing? If we criticize a brother, are we not glorying in ourselves? If we accuse a brother and we condemn a brother for how he walks, what he eats and drinks, what he does, are we not exalting ourselves is better than him? Who art thou that judges? Who are you? God says, who are you to judge your brother? Remember this, brethren. Weak faith saves the same as strong faith. Both the weak and the strong are in Christ and saved by Christ. It's not the degree of our faith that saves us. It's the object of our faith that saves us. So both are in Christ and both are justified and made righteous. So we're to receive Him because God receives Him. Now secondly, remember that we cannot see a brother's heart. Only Christ can see his heart. And motive is what matters. Motive is what matters. Look at here, Romans 15:5. One man, this is weak in faith, he esteemeth one day above another. Another, who's strong in faith, esteemeth every day alike. Now this is God speaking. He says that this weak brother, this one weak in faith, is he who believes he should observe a certain day. A certain day. Now, in this day and time, most observe Sunday, thinking Sunday is the new Sabbath. They think it's been changed from Saturday to Sunday. So they observe Sunday as the Sabbath, or as the Lord's Day. Brethren, if the Sabbath is now Sunday, if that's the case, and if it's as important and as much of a necessity to observe as men say it is, wouldn't it be clearly revealed in God's Word? Wouldn't this passage be a great place to reveal it? And yet, God doesn't say it. In fact, what God does say to us is this. He says, Christ blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. He spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them, openly triumphing in them, over them in it. And so He says to you and me, let no man therefore judge you in meat, what you eat or what you don't eat, in drink, in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come. Those things pictured Christ. He says, but the body is of Christ. Those things pictured Christ. But the weak brother believes that on Sunday he should go to the morning service and hear the gospel preached. And then he goes home and he spends the rest of the day reading Scripture. He spends the rest of the day in prayer, listening to sermons, and then goes back to hear the evening message. And he believes he should spend that whole day devoted to the Lord. You know what God says? Fine. Go ahead. Do it. He's weak in the faith. But God says, let him do it. Let him do it. A weak brother believes he shouldn't regard Christmas Day because he knows that's a pagan holiday that was made by a bunch of pagan rebels. He shouldn't observe Christmas Day. He does nothing to acknowledge the Christmas season. He believes he shouldn't acknowledge Halloween because he thinks dressing up in costumes and handing candy out to kids is sinful. He's weak in faith. Well, let him do it. He's weak in faith, but let him do it. God says the strong in faith regards every day the same. To him, every day is the Lord's day. To him, you worship the Lord every day the same. On Sunday, this strong brother goes to hear the gospel. On the way home, he stops at a restaurant, gets him something to eat. When he gets home, he turns on the TV, watches a ball game. That evening, if they have an evening service, he goes back to hear the gospel preached that evening. God says, that's fine. That's fine. He's not wrong to do that. He's strong in faith. He sees the liberty Christ has given. Christmas comes around, he's thankful God's made a day so that this world has to acknowledge the Son of God came into this world in human flesh. And he likes Christmas trees and lights, so he puts him up a Christmas tree, strings it up with lights, and gives gifts and receives gifts. He doesn't attach any religious significance to that whatsoever. He's not putting up that tree, as Isaiah said, and bowing down and worshiping it. He just puts it up because it's pretty. He gives candy out to all the kids that come around at Halloween and comments out how what a nice costume they're wearing. So what are these brethren to do with each other? How are these brethren to treat each other? They're at odds on how they practice. They're complete odds. How do they treat each other? God says, do not intrude upon your brother's conscience. Don't intrude upon your brother's conscience. Verse 5 at the end, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, listen carefully. You are not to try to live by my conscience. And you're not to try to make me live by your conscience. Whatever in your conscience you believe a believer should do, you're not to try to intrude on my conscience and make me do that. And however I believe a believer should walk, I'm not to intrude on your conscience to try to make you do that. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind concerning what God would have him to do. And here's the truth of it. Every believer who's born of God, in whom the Spirit of God dwells, walks in the light God has given him. Every believer does that. He walks in the measure of light that God has given him and does what he does unto the Lord. That's true of every believer. Because we believe in irresistible grace. That's why it's true of every believer. Look here in verse 6. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us, not one single believer, liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord over all his people. That's what he's saying. Over the dead and the living. He's Lord over all his people. Christ died, rose again, and was revived that he might be Lord in the hearts of all his people, from the youngest to that one that's just about to die. From that one that's just been born again to that one who's about to part from this life into God's presence. He's the Lord of both of them. He's the Lord of both of them. When God gives his child life and faith in Christ, though he is a newborn baby in the faith, he lives unto the Lord the same as that believer who's been in the faith for 50 years. That's what he's saying. He lives unto the Lord the same as that one who's been in the faith 50 years. Now, he may practice some different things. Eli wasn't born full grown like his daddy. He wasn't grown full grown like his daddy. A believer's not grown full grown when he's born of God. But who would blame Eli for crawling and for eating baby food and for slobbering all over himself Who's going to take offense at that? God's children are born babies. And as a baby in Christ, he may believe he can only eat certain meats. He may believe he has to observe certain days. He might take the radio out of his car because he thinks it's sinful to listen to music. But in his heart, what he's doing because he's fully persuaded this is what the Lord would have him to do. This is what the Lord would have him to do. And those strong in faith are not to blame him for acting like a baby. No more than you'd blame Eli for acting like a baby. Now, if I judge my brother, and I insist my brother walk as I walk, then I'm playing the legalist. Then I'm saying the way I walk is a necessity. If I judge him and I cast him out of the church because he doesn't walk like I walk, now then, my heart's revealed. Now I'm saying what I'm doing is necessary for salvation. I'm saying I trust in this work to make me accepted of God. I put myself in Christ's place. I put myself in the judgment seat. I make myself to be the master. But listen to this. Verse 10, why dost thou judge thy strong brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy weak brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it's written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us, talking about believers here, we shall give account of ourselves to God. You're going to give account of yourself to God. I'm going to give account of myself to God. And brethren, he's saying here, it's not the judgment of men that matters. Now, we're going to see in a minute, we don't want to do anything to cause our brethren to stumble, but it's not the judgment of men that matters. Whenever the Corinthians were blaming the Apostle Paul and saying all those things about him, at one point the Apostle Paul wrote and he said, I don't really care that you're judging me. Your judgment is not what really matters. The judgment that matters is Christ Jesus, our Master. And this is not a fearful thing for a believer because we believe and trust and know that by His righteousness, by His works, our Lord Jesus Christ is going to present us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable before God. This is not given to terrify us. It's just given to teach us that that brother who's trying to be a judge, don't let that affect you too much. Because it's not him that matters, it's Christ. He's the judge. He's the judge. Now lastly, let me just read this to you. We'll come back and look at it another time because it's too important just to go through it quickly. But let me show you this last thing. Never do or say anything that will trip up your brother. Never do or say anything that will trip him up. Look here in verse 13. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, Paul said, that there's nothing unclean of itself. Sin is not in things. And it's not sinful for me to eat or drink anything. But he says this, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. It is. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. If a brother's offended, if you have a glass of wine, don't have a glass of wine in front of him. That's being charitable to him. Don't do it in front of him. Listen. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God's not meat and drink. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ, it doesn't matter if he's observing or not observing. It doesn't matter if he's drinking or not drinking. But he that does these things, serving Christ, is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another. For meat destroyeth not the work of God. Do we really believe that if a man does not observe a day, that's going to destroy the work Christ accomplished? Of course not. Of course not. Christ is our Sabbath. He's our bread from heaven. If I don't eat some kind of earthly bread, is that going to make him cease being my bread from heaven? No. All things indeed are pure, but it's evil for that man who eateth with offense. It's good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Now watch this. Hast thou faith? Do you believe that it's not wine that's sinful, only drunkenness? You believe that? Do you have faith that nothing that goes into the mouth can defile you? Have it to thyself before God. Don't do it when the brother's around, it's going to be offended. Have that faith to yourself before God. Look at this. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. You can be happy having your glass of wine, knowing in your heart, God doesn't condemn me for this. Now, if you have liberty of conscience to drink wine, that's fine when the weak brother's not around. But if you do it around the weak brother, now it's sin because of your brother. Look, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It doesn't mean that he loses his salvation and he's damned before God. It means he loses his peace of conscience. When he does that, it goes against his conscience. In his conscience, he's going to be damned. He's going to say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. He won't have any peace, won't be able to sleep, because he did something that went against his conscience. Look at Romans 15:1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. In other words, don't have this attitude that, well, I don't care if you're offended or not, I'm going to do it. He said, let's don't please ourselves. Please your brother. Do what's good for your brother. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. What's our constraint? What's our motive? For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it's written, the reproaches of thee fell on me. That's our constraint. Christ did this for us. Look at how Christ didn't please himself, but pleased us. He came down from heaven and took flesh. He went to the cross. You think he was happy on the cross? No, he went to the cross and died for his people. He had the reproaches of his people cast on him that he might save us from all iniquity. Everything he did for his brethren. So let us do what we do for our brethren. Amen. Let's stand together. Take a little break. I went a little long. Our gracious God, we thank you for this day and we thank you for this word. How we need to be taught this and how we need to be turned from our self-righteousness and from making ourselves judges of our brethren. Lord, teach us to receive one another and to trust one another to Christ. We know you will make us stand. Forgive us, Lord, our sin and our doubting and our disputing. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.